Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. Chilly North Dakota, matter of fact, we are in the low 50s and upper 40s last night. So apparently summer is over up here. I don't know how you folks are doing down there, but I don't think it's probably this chilly. Hopefully this will not last too long. I'm not ready for this 30 below zero temperatures yet. But anyway, this is Mike Paulson. Like I said, this is the Cup of Goodness program. We are talking to you this morning about Paul's gospel. We're talking to you about the teachings that Jesus gave to Paul to take to the Gentiles, not the teachings that Jesus gave to the Jews. However, we are going to talk about that this morning. We're going to jump right into this study this morning. We're going to go to Matthew, then we're going to go to the book of Acts. I'm going to show you a couple of verses that deal with Jesus telling the apostles, telling these people not to go to the Gentiles with what he's teaching them. And then I'm going to take you to Paul. I'm going to show you where he was the one that was given and chosen by the Lord himself to go to the Gentiles. Now, this is not an exhaustive study. I guess I would be considered famous for doing exhaustive studies. I like to find every verse that deals with the subject we're talking about, which is probably why when I first got into this thing, my sermons were going to 45 minutes to an hour and a half. Back in the state of Washington, and we didn't seem to mind. Most of the time seemed to go by quickly. Always flipping our pages, always checking the verses, always going, yeah, amen, that's what it says. I guess you can't argue with what it says, instead of arguing with me with what I say. This morning, we're just going to do some verses here and some verses there. I'm just going to show you that Jesus told his apostles, told the disciples, of such two different groups. You know, the disciples are just anybody that was following him, and the apostles were the big 12. And he told them, don't take this to the Gentiles. I'm here for the Jews. Okay, so let's jump into this. And we're just take your Bible, whatever one you want to use, doesn't matter to me. If you got a King James Bible, you'll find out what we're talking about. You'll be able to read along. If you've got a different Bible, you'll recognize some changes here. And if you just want to listen, that's okay. But I'll be quoting from a King James Bible. And if you're one of those that doesn't really matter what scriptures they use, you need to check it out to make sure you know what Bible they're using. I mean, come on, there's over 300, almost 400 different versions out there. And some are just downright dirty books. The Message Bible that even Billy Graham recommends. I can't think of the other guy's name. He's got a big outfit down there, a big church down in that area, Oklahoma areas. They recommend the Message Bible. I don't understand it. A Message Bible is just a downright dirty Bible. Anyway. Matthew chapter 10, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, well, you know who we're talking about here in this case, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was into miracles. Of course he was. He was doing those for signs. He was doing those so they can see that his works were from God. We talked about that in yesterday's program, that they just had to believe that he was the Son of God. And if they didn't want to believe him personally, believe the works that he did, miracles, wonders, healings, believe that those works were from God. I'm in him and he's in me. And that's what he tried to get them to see, that he was the Christ. Doesn't that make sense? First time he shows up, he's got to show these people that he's their Messiah. He's the Son of God. And then to us, after he was killed, and he went to hell and rose again, wouldn't you think he would go on to the Gentiles eventually, and they would have to believe that he was the risen Son of God, and that God brought him out of death? And so he goes to the Gentiles with faith, because we certainly weren't there to see this. Okay, bunny trail, I know. Let's go back to Matthew 10 again. Let's read that again. This is, you can't argue with this one. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Gentiles, Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? That's pretty plain. Let's go down to verse 11. So he goes into these homes with the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there shall abide till ye go thence. And even then they had to be worthy. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Now that is something that Paul also said too. He and Barnabas were kicked out of a town, and he just, you know, get the dust off your shoes and went on. So there's a little similarity there. Then he says in verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's the severity of God. God doesn't operate that now to the Gentiles, because this is the dispensation of grace. And the severity of God, Romans 11:22, is directed to the Jews. And there's a prime example. Okay, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's where you get that phrase, by the way. It's a gospel Jesus teaching there. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Synagogues, Jewish. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. That's just the way that goes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? See, now you've heard that. God will provide. Listen, I fell for this verse for years. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? And the mess I'm in today financially is because I believe that God would just step up to the plate and he would do all these things. He would provide everything for me, and I fell for that. Because look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now he's talking to the Jews. Listen, you guys, don't worry about what, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you, okay? And that's what he did. But he's comparing this, listen, that's what the Gentiles do. Another one of those no-no thoughts about, you know, those lowly little Gentiles he calls dogs, right? Let's go to chapter 12, verse 18. Now let's go to verse 17 here. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Ooh, that's not grace, that's judgment to the Gentiles. Let's go to Matthew 15. This is my favorite one. This is the one to tell people. If you're going to use an illustration about what Jesus thought of the Gentiles, everybody says, you know, Jesus loves everybody. He's there to be there for everybody. All this kind of lovey-dovey flower power stuff, okay? We got an interesting situation here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Oh, okay. Well, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whoa. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now listen to his answer here. King James Bible, maybe this is why some people don't like the King James Bible, very truthful about how Jesus talked to people. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Do I need to read that again? But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He just called her a dog. That's a heathen, that's a Gentile. And she said, now here's another answer, here's a response that is not your typical response either. And she said, truth, Lord. So she knew how she stood. But she throws in, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was willing to acknowledge her status. Truth, Lord. What's truth, Lord? I'm a dog. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, how many people would actually believe that story? Well, it's the King James Bible. So a lot of people don't believe that. That's a truthful story. Bunny trail coming here. If we were to realize in Ephesians chapter 2, which a lot of people just don't want to acknowledge and accept and realize, where he says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, a lot more than just being, quote, lost. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without Christ, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We would be willing to put our faith and trust in this risen Savior. And as you do that, you put your faith in Him. Not only would you receive His faith, you'll receive an understanding. Your eyes will start to finally see the truth. You'll be able to deal with spiritual matters. You'll be able to have some understanding. You'll be able to have some wisdom. And we can rest assured that as Gentiles, based on Romans chapter 11, we're not having to take any crumbs from the table at all. We are at the table with Him. We have got the mouth of God right in our ears. We've got the Bible, the Word of God, the words of God, right here in our hands to study. We're not the dogs anymore. We're not underneath the table lapping up crumbs. Okay, so those are just a couple of verses to show that Jesus did not go to the Gentiles. And He told His apostles, He told His people not to go to the Gentiles. Okay, so now let's go forward. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And let's read about the verses that tell us that Paul was the one that was sent to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I'm going to show you some verses in the book of Acts. We're going to skip the context. We're going to skip the situation that was going on. We're going to skip the stuff that who he was talking to or whatever the story was. I'm just going to give you these verses, and you can jot them down and get them from the website. I hope you do realize that on the website, scatteredchristians.org, if you click down just a little ways, a cup of goodness, you'll go right to a place where these programs are all listed according to the date, from program 1 up to this program 64. They're all there for you to study and listen to. They got the verses that we talked about. They're all listed there for you. Most of them I think I have correct in there. And we've even got the names of the hymns that I play on the piano. So all the details are there. So today we're just going to go through these specific verses. Remember, the time is short, and I want to keep from doing one of what I call the exhaustive studies that I so much like to do. Acts chapter 9:15 is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Obviously, Jesus is the one that is being quoted here. To bear my name before the Gentiles. That was Paul's job. Go to Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Wow, that's never been done before. Go to verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now remember, this is one of the biggest reasons they hated Paul. Because Paul's message was, listen folks, God went to the Gentiles. You mean those dogs? Those heathen? Yep. Dispensation of grace. We've become a time now to where God's going to go to the Gentiles. In fact, you guys, if you look at Romans chapter 11, which you didn't have then, so you had to tell them what God has done with the Jews. You don't want to hear him? He's cast you off for now, and he's gone to the Gentiles. Boy, what a blow that must have been. No wonder they didn't like Paul. No wonder there was a conspiracy to kill him. Still exists to this day. Got to get rid of that stuff. We can't be talking just about grace. You can do anything you want. We'll talk about that eventually. They keep people in the church today learning about Jesus to the Jews, and that's the severity of God. And they preach that severity. They will tell you that God will do this to you. God will chastise you to do this. You got to stay with it, folks. That's what they tell you. Okay, enough of that bunny trail. Acts chapter 13. Let's go to Acts 13. Flip over another page or two. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They wanted to hear it. They'd never heard this kind of stuff before. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be something? Here we are. Here's this little guy up in North Dakota. He's mentioning this stuff on the radio to the millions of listeners that are listening right now. Wish, I wish, I wish. And they're hearing something you've never heard before. This is fantastic stuff. Now you know why we like the King James Bible and say that the King James Bible is the Word of God. It has been for all along. You're right to divide that thing. I've never heard that before there, Pastor. And I just want to hear this. And before you know it, the entire metropolitan, I think they use that word nowadays, metro area, Fort Worth and Dallas, were to drop me some emails, call me on the phone, tell me more. Tell me more. What's going on here? You can bet your pastors would not be happy campers. And it's all because of envy. Really? Yeah, keep reading. 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. I guarantee you that if you take what I'm teaching you to your pastor will contradict, he will be envious of this whole Paul stuff, he'll be envious of that King James Bible. He'd never admit that. But they'll be angry about it, and they will speak things contradicting and blaspheming. I tell you, that's what would happen. I've seen it over and over. Boy, am I getting off on trails. Let's go to verse 46. Keep going here. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, which is what has to be done, and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking about the Jews, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, which I think is a pretty sarcastic way of putting that. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's beyond the little Jewish kingdoms there. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Oh, they were thrilled. I mean, Gentiles were thrilled. Although, we go to Romans chapter 11, verse 22, and we see that there's going to come a time where the Gentiles are no longer thrilled. And when the Gentiles are no longer thrilled with the goodness of God, there goes a rapture with what's left, and thus beginneth the tribulation. Again, with a different gospel. The everlasting gospel then will be different. Let's keep going here. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 2. Just one more little tag on to the people that get upset when they hear this stuff. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. That's quite a thing. Okay, let's go down to verse 27, chapter 14, verse 27. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Okay, let's go to 15, chapter 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phenice and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Go down to verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now remember, Paul and Barnabas, these guys did miracles at first, not only because the Gentiles were there to receive them, because the Jews were there. Remember, it was all for signs. They had to see that he was who he says he was. Gentiles, they didn't need that, but the Jews did. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 6. 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves, that was the Jews. They didn't like, but it was going on. That's who our enemy is, ourselves. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed them. So that's what's going on there. Let's go to 21, verse 19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Gentiles. See what this is? This is the Gentiles. In the Gospels, the Gentiles were dogs. He refused to help that lady at first, called her a dog. And when she accepted that and just kind of responded, listen, at least we get the crumbs, and he said, you've got great faith, and then he healed his daughter. They were not even a people, they were dogs. But now we're looking at verse after verse after verse. For the same Christ, now that he's risen and has this new doctrine, a new testament, he's going to the Gentiles and he's doing it through Paul. We are Gentiles today. This is the dispensation of grace. We get our stuff from Paul. And by the way, one of these days, we're going to start getting into the stuff that we need to change in our lives and we deal with as Christians We can't ignore that stuff. We can only talk about this spectacular doctrine so long, and we're going to have to start dealing with the walk. And it's okay. It's not going to kill anybody. It's not going to hurt you. It will actually please God, if, of course, you have God as your Savior. Let's go to Acts chapter 22, verse 21. And he said unto me, depart. Again, this is Paul giving his testimony. But the Lord, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. That is Paul's ministry. Let's go to 26, chapter 26, verse 17. Well, let's go back to 60. We might as well get the whole story in, because this is an interesting verse here. Because this is what it's like to be a pastor and a preacher and a teacher of this gospel. He says in verse 15, for example, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Okay, verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So there's a verse where Christ, the risen Savior, says, listen, I'm going to teach you some things, and I'm going to talk to you. We're going to get together here about this stuff. Okay. So verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Look at that again. Paul is going to be delivered from the people and from the Gentiles. And yet it says, unto whom now I send thee. He's going to take him away from the Gentiles so he can send him to the Gentiles. How can that be? It's just like a pastor. A pastor cannot be friends. He can be friendly, but he cannot be friends with his congregation. And we have pastors today who are friends. We're all just buddies. He gets hugs from all the women in the church, which is a no-no, by the way, in Corinthians. A huge no-no. And the men were just buddies. Well, as soon as that pastor has to preach the truth, I guarantee you he will lose his buddies. He will lose the women, and he'll lose his money. But if he stays close to them, he'll get all that money. He'll get all the support. He'll get all the stuff that he needs. And Paul, God says, listen, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you from the people. Deliver thee, singular, referring to Paul, from the people. And I'm also going to deliver you from the Gentiles, of whom I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Because Paul couldn't be their buddy. He was friendly to them. He cared. He nurtured them. He fed them. But he wasn't their buddy. And that's what's going on in our churches. We got pastors and pastorettes who are everybody's buddy. And they can't be part of that congregation. Probably one of the best things for me as a pastor is I don't see my congregation anymore. This is a website done all over the country. We've had listeners from all over the world. Yes, we have, matter of fact. And yet, I don't know these people. I'm not around them. I'm not their buddy. I'm their pastor. I'm the preacher. I'm the teacher. I'm the piano player. But we're not buddies. So I can say what needs to be said. Kind of. It's still tough. You know, you still not only want to be friendly, it is nice to have friends. It is nice to be able to fellowship with people. This is what Christ is saying to Paul. Listen, I'm going to deliver you from the people you're going to go see. So he has to get away from them, and then he's got to go back and tell them what he needs to tell them. Remember, okay, that was a huge bunny trail. That's just about the Gentiles. Let's keep going here. We're up to 17. Let's go to verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, so he did his job with the Jews, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And the goodness of God is what will lead us to repentance. Okay, verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Okay, I'll just keep going. I like this story. Verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. I told King Agrippa the truth. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto me, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Didn't quite get him. And let's finish up with Acts chapter 28, verse 28. Oh, let's see. You know what? We got a few minutes here. Let's go back to verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, I like it, when they agreed not among themselves, in other words, they couldn't agree, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Paul says, after that Paul had spoken one word, they left. One word. Now, I had people come to our church service in Washington one day a couple years ago, and they left before we were done singing. Now, I'm not sure if we were that bad of singers, or they just came to church for some highfalutin music. But here Paul says one word, and the people leave. Wonder what that word was. Verse 26, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The Jews were done. They're not interested. One word, and they leave. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves, you know, yep, 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 chatter, 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 and they could explain all the reasons why they didn't like Paul. They're still good at that today. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. I wonder if he had a radio program in those days. No, he stayed in his house, he stayed in this rented house, and they came to him. Do you realize what that sounds like? Here I am, we're spending $800 or so a month to come to you, and these people wanted to hear what Paul had to say so much they came to his house. Ah, such a thought. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven, but the spiritual kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, Christ went to the Gentiles through Paul. Do you know those verses in 26 and 27? That's what's happened to the Gentiles. It's come full circle. Or should I say, it's gone full circle. This is what's happening to the Gentiles. Hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. The heart of this people, now we're applying this to the Gentiles. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have they closed, and I like this, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted. Because we know in Romans chapter 11, I say this verse almost every time, verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee, Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou, the Gentile nation, also shall be cut off. So come a day, and I'm telling you, the Gentiles, they don't understand. They can't perceive what they're seeing. Their heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. They've closed their eyes. They're afraid they might see something. They're afraid they might hear something. And they're just afraid they might understand with their heart. What a scary thought. They'll have to give up their imitation Christianity and go for the real one. They'll have to give up following the teachings of the Antichrist when Jesus' teachings are taught in this wrong dispensation, and they'll have to go to the teachings of the risen Savior. And I don't know what they're so afraid of. It's really very simple and very spectacular. It's not hard. There will be challenges. There will be persecution. But hey, it's worth it in the end.